No? Maybe some others? Man, that was good this morning. We appreciate the Lord. I'm trying to figure out exactly where I'm going to go this morning. I don't want to block the altar. At the same time, I kind of want to get all focused. We're still figuring this out, so you figure it out with us and we'll be all right. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can just stand there and, yeah, go ahead as the kids go ahead and get ready to go back. Sometimes you can just stand there and hear the music and you can just feel the movement of the Lord when He's in the house. Amen? And we appreciate that this morning. I think they did a great job. And it's just going to keep getting better and better and better. I kind of thought through my words when I got back there and everything else. I thought, I didn't really mean that to sound like it. Probably sounded with Brian about they're going to get better at that or whatever I said before. But I didn't mean that as any slight towards him. I think he does a great job. And what I mean is comfort level, right? A lot of these guys are coming together for the first time. They're getting more and more comfortable on Saturday nights working together and everything. And as they grow together, then it's just going to keep getting better and better is what I meant to say. But it just didn't always come out that right. Amen. Sometimes when we're not reading off a script, things like that happen. So I just want to clarify, and that way no one gets pouty and all things. And not that Brian would, because we just wrestle it out. But wouldn't we? Huh? Whatever we want to do. All right. We're good. So we appreciate, and we appreciate the time and the work they put in through the week, the time they give up on Saturday nights to be here practicing and everything else so that they can put their best forward for you this morning. Honey, go ahead and hand me my phone. Y'all know I don't do this a lot, but after we finished the little bit of setup in here this morning, and I always go upstairs for a little bit of quiet time and word time and just to review everything, and God kind of spoke to me, and so when I jotted it all down here, and thinking that would be next week's part two of this, but the more I'm sitting here and he's kind of talking and I'm kind of listening and everything else, I think it's going to be more of that. So we're completely off script, and that's okay. Not that there's ever a script, but we're just going to mind the Lord. I teased out on Facebook this week and everything about no more resolutions. What's something that we always do this time of year, right? It's the beginning of a new year. It's the beginning of a new me. It's the beginning of a new start, right? The whole world looks different, and I'm going to look different too, right? It's kind of what a lot of us do. You know, we're going to lose weight, or we're going to go to the gym, or you know, we're going to go back to school, or we're going to better our career, or something. This time of year, all of us get excited about things. Things that we can change, things that we can do better, things that will look better about us as we move forward. And that's good. That's okay. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Okay? Y'all know I've been fighting the keto thing for a while now, right? You know, since this last year, and Brian's now on it too, and I know there's others starting some things and everything else. So that's all good, okay? So I'm not fighting anything. Yes, I put some weight on over the holidays because I kind of snuck away from the keto and everything, and I'll be back on it hardcore tomorrow and everything, and so I can get back to where we want to be. So these are all good things. I'm not saying these are anti-God. I'm not saying if you make a resolution, you're off in left field. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is sometimes we make our resolutions based on our focus, based on the things that speak to us, and based on the things that we are focused on, right? There's nothing wrong with wanting to lose weight. Apparently, there was conversation up in the connect room, and I went up to warm up my coffee, and Luke's like, I hear you and Mom been talking about me. And I'm like, no. And he's like, but I need to lose weight. And I said, no, that's not what I said. What I said, I don't know about your mom, but what I said was, dude, you need to deal with it now. Don't wait. You get in my situation and have to deal with it. That's my comment. That's what I said. Whatever your mom's saying, y'all work out. But that's what I said. That's where I'm at. Huh? You said that, John? You need what? You ask him to work out all the time? Well, make him. Just grab him by his ear, twist it, pull him with you into the gym. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe not. But anyway, there's nothing wrong with wanting to do better. Right? And, you know, as far as he goes, I'll tell you what, you know, my doctor kind of went drill instructor mode on me back over the summer and said, it's got to happen, no more blankety-blank excuses and so forth. It was a real almost, I felt, you know, like some PTSD, like I was back in boot camp for a minute. I mean, it was almost like he went that crazy on me. After I had lost the 50 pounds, I ran into him at a ball game, and here's what he said to me. He said, what you did by losing that weight, I could never do with drugs. You did more for your body, you did more for your health, you did more for your longevity than I could ever do with something that you put in your mouth and take on a daily regimen. That's why it's important. Okay, so I say that to say this, right? Number one, too much information about myself. But number two, I say that to say this, take care of yourselves. So if you made a resolution to lose weight, do it. Okay, do it. Work hard at it. Do it. Amen. And surround yourself with people who are going to cheer you on and encourage you. Amen. You know, we kind of got into that hump part of our diet and everything else. And then here comes TJ, and every day he's sending me texts. Hey, man, what's your strip say today? And all this and that and the other and everything. That was encouraging to me, right? Because it was someone who cared that I was going through the process. Right? And in a lot of ways, we did it together. And so that's important. So surround yourself with those kind of people and whatever those goals you're doing. Okay, that's all I want to say about resolutions, because the point of today's message is sometimes I want us to go deeper. Sometimes I think we need to go deeper, and sometimes I think we need to go further. It's okay to better yourself in this life, because what happens? 90% of the times we make our resolutions and we make our decisions on what we're going to do better about ourselves for two things. Number one, we want to feel good about ourselves, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's no pride issue if you want to feel good about yourself, okay? Putting your best forward, working hard to be your best self. I'm all for those things. But number two, we want to assimilate to the culture. In some way, some form, we want to feel accepted and we want to feel like we fit in. We want to feel like people accept us for who we are. So we have to look a certain way. We have to dress a certain way. We have to be a certain thing. Amen. And so when I say no more resolutions, that's what I'm talking about. I want everybody in this place to quit being something that you're not, trying to please someone who doesn't matter. You can clap, I don't care. Amen? And by saying someone who doesn't matter, I'm not belittling anyone, I'm not putting anyone down, but what I'm saying is, I'm saying that a lot of times we conform, or we are forced to conform, to something that isn't God-given. It isn't something that God says, this is who you are. And what I want us to focus on, and what I want us to think about, when we think about the idea of not conforming to the world and not conforming to an ideology, is being who God created you to be. You've heard the scripture 1,000 times. He knew us in our mother's womb. Amen. And if he knew us in our mother's womb, it doesn't mean he just knew our face. Amen. Because at that point, we really had no form. Right? We were a living creature. I'll argue that to the end of the earth. We were a living creature, but we really didn't have a form. Our face, our looks hadn't really formed themselves yet. So what did he know? He knew who we were. And he knew who God intended us to be. He knew what we were made for, and he knew what God's capacity within us was. Amen? And so because he knew our purpose, because he knew God's capacity within us, he knew the things that were in our hand as long as we chose to walk with God. Amen? And this is where I want to point you to. This is what I want you to see. And this is what I want you to think about when you think about who you want to be at the end of 2019. Amen? I'm okay if you're a few pounds lighter. I'm okay if you further your career. I'm okay if you further your education. I'm okay with all of that. I'm doing a lot of those things myself. But what I want you to understand is at the end of the day, I want you to come closer and stand in the presence of God and who he created you to be. That's the goal. That's the focus. Anything else isn't good enough. Amen. I'll tell you that right now. Anything else is good enough. Every excuse holds no water. Everything that you do to try to hold up, to make yourself feel good about yourself, all while you squander and waste what God has given, is only going to continue to mess with your mind and mess with your heart and drag you down. Amen? Didn't know we were going all that way, but that's all right. That's all right. Amen? Because it's true. You want to know why there's so much depression in our country? Because people are further away from God than they've ever been. You want to know why there's so much anxiety in our country? Because so people are so far away from walking a life of faith than they've ever been. Continually, we bring ourselves into church and continually we go home without evolving and without becoming something more. And what that means is, it either means that I'm terrible at what I do, okay, and other preachers are terrible at what they do, or it simply means that we're lacking the faith and we're lacking the courage to accept who God is. Amen? Anytime you choose to walk another path other than God's path for your life, you're deciding within yourself that this is better than God. This is better than God. This is smarter than God. This is better for me than God. Amen? And all of those decisions are wrong. All of those decisions are wrong. Amen? And trust me, I've been there. Amen? I've been there. I've sat in the middle of making a decision and make that decision and walk away from it, and the whole time I knew it was wrong. But it was what I wanted to do, or it was what I thought I had to do because of this or because of that or because of this person or that person or whatever. Amen. God's power is real, friends. God's power is real. And if He says it, He'll do it. If he leads you into it, He'll empower you through it. And if He brings it into your presence, He will give you authority over it. Amen? Now, last week, I love what Josh said to us last week about praying audaciously. Praying audaciously, I love that. Amen? And I believe that. Medora and I, on a group message with a person that we're friends with, had brought something to me year and a half or so ago, an issue, a problem with a neighbor and everything else. And they had done everything the right way, trying to fix everything the right way. And none of it was working and everything. And so she Facebook messaged me one day and she goes, I don't know what to do. I've done everything that I feel like as a Christian I should do and yada, 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 and so forth and everything else. And I was like, pray him out. She's like, what? I said, pray him out. If he's that much of a hindrance to you and that much of a hindrance to your family, and because of the evil that you're saying he's bringing, if you're telling me the truth in all of this, and you believe you're where you're supposed to be, then you pray God's power over him and to remove him from having this type of influence over you and your family. You approach that throne boldly and you say, do it, God. I'm trusting you. I'm believing you. Your word says this, and I'm taking you at your word. Be who you say you are, God. And in our Facebook message, I was just that bold with her. Pray it. She began to pray it. And about 3 months later, she texted me back. She goes, you're not going to believe this. And I said, let me guess. The neighbor's gone? Yes! All across my screen. And it had nothing to do with us. God allowed the landlord to see something else and figure something else out that was going on and just kicked him out. And I'm like, huh. Amen. Listen, there's power in the authority of God. there is power in it. And you can dispute it. You can wonder at it. You can marvel at it and everything else like this. But I love the word Josh used, audacious. Be bold. Be ridiculous with God as long as you're within His Word. As long as you're within His Word and as long as you're within His... Now, don't get full of yourself. Amen. Don't get full of yourself and say, God, just do it. Amen. Because you're going to look pretty foolish. Amen. But if you're walking with Him and His Spirit and His glory is upon you and you're doing everything that He has commanded you to do according to the Scriptures and everything else, then you be bold with Him and you ask Him to move on your behalf. And I promise you, I've seen it do it. I could stand here and share stories with you all day long. He'll do it. He'll do it. So here's what I want to say to you. Amen. Make your resolutions. Amen. I'll take the no more resolution thing away. You can make resolutions if you want to make your resolutions. But I'm going to challenge you to go further. I'm going to challenge you to go further today because what I want you to do is I want you to choose to be who God created you to be. When you leave here today, I want you to purpose within yourself that I'm going to be more. I want you to choose that I'm going to be exactly who God placed me in the womb to be. Amen? Now what that does is that takes all earthly principles off of you. It takes all earthly statutes off of you. It takes you into the presence of God. It takes you into His power. It takes you into His glory. And it takes you into a life of faith for you to choose to walk with Him. Here's the number one thing I would encourage you to do. Surround yourself by people who are doing just that. Surround yourself by people who are walking a life of faith and who are choosing to see God do the impossible. Amen? Here's what we often do. And this is why we choose the other roads. It's because God doesn't do what we think He should when we think He should. All right? You see, we think we got it all figured out. We think we know what we need. We think we know what needs to happen. And when something else happens, we choose to lose faith in God and choose to start doing things ourselves because we just can't allow that to happen instead of saying, okay, all right. God's got a plan. God's got this figured out. So show me Your glory, Lord. Show me Your glory. Do what only You can do. Bring victory to this. And let everybody see that it was You. Amen. Y'all have heard the story about how we ended up here in Winfield. Right? We were supposed to be in Polka. One minute we get a phone call. Nope, can't do Polka. Nope, by no fault of our own. Right? But we can't do Polka. We need to wait about 6 months. Walk into a grocery store 10 minutes later. We got a meeting. This is a Friday. Monday morning we got a meeting at 8 a.m., with the principal here at Winfield Middle School, and bam, we're no longer the Pulse Poco, we're the Pulse Winfield. Amen? Why? Because God had it all figured out. We were doing what we thought we were supposed to do. We were going through the motions. We were following the open doors. And then when the door closed, you want to know what happened? John and I had a call. And John was going, oh, what are we going to do, Jay? I don't know, John. This is just so traumatic. Neither one freaked out. Neither one of us had our world rocked. Neither one of us lost faith. Neither one of us believed for a minute that God was blown away by this. We just resolved, well, God closed the door. He'll open another. Let's pray and wait for it. And within 10 minutes, He opened that next door. You see, our problem is, we don't want to wait. Our problem is we don't want the better thing if we can get something okay right now. And because of that, we often push God and His glory and His imminent path for our life. We push it off. We push it away. I want to read to you out of Daniel. And I gave Bob, like, from verse 3 all the way down. To verse 17, but I want to hit verse 8. If you could pop that up there, Bob. Verse 8 says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. In verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the king. See, this is why it's important how we treat people. Right? I'm soapboxing for a minute. Is that okay? All right, this is really isn't part of the message, but I'm just going to give you a little extra here for a minute. This is why it's important how we treat people. If we're a jerk, we don't fall into favor and tender love with people that God might be orchestrating to work in our life. Do you hear me? If we're a jerk, if we treat people without love, if we treat people without respect, if we treat people without worth, right? Because everybody you come in contact with has worth. I don't care how many bad decisions they've made. I don't care where their life is right now. Just like you in that womb, God had a purpose for them. Right? And we need to think that way. We need to live that way. And we need to treat people that way. Amen? I believe Daniel had favor with the prince of the eunuchs. Why? Because Daniel treated him with respect. Daniel treated him with love, and Daniel knew beyond the circumstances, Daniel knew that he was in his presence because God had allowed it to be so. And so Daniel treated him with love and respect and purpose, treating him with worth. And you know what? God gave him worth. He also returned the love and he also returned the favor to Daniel. And because of that, this all started to become orchestrated. Amen? And so the prince of the eunuchs said, I fear my Lord who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Now this isn't the eunuch, the prince of the eunuchs being a jerk towards Daniel. What this is a conversation. And it's okay to have conversations. Amen? It's okay to have conversations. Daniel is saying, I don't want to defile myself. I don't want the meat and I don't want the wine. I don't want to be that. Okay? And the prince of the eunuchs is like, hey, look, dude, I get it. But man, if you guys start to waste away, then the king's going to put my neck on the guillotine. He's going to chop my head off because I didn't do my job. And this is where the audaciousness or the boldness or the fervor, whatever word you want to use, amen, this is where the power and the fervor comes upon Daniel from heaven. Daniel audaciously looks at the prince of the eunuchs. He says, I tell you what, you give us pulse and water, and I guarantee you that at the end of 10 days, we're going to look better than those dining on the king's meat. Somebody ought to shout. Somebody ought to shout. Amen? Because there's a whole lot of power, and there's a whole lot of information in that little moment of Scripture for all of us. Daniel, believing in the power of God more than the earth, more than the peers, more than everybody in his presence, more than his circumstances, he is enslaved. So even more than his circumstances, Daniel brings himself through the power of God to say, I tell you what, you give me what's of God over what's of the king, and I promise you I'm going to look better than everybody else. I promise you I'm going to walk better than everyone else. I promise you I'm going to be stronger than everybody else. I promise you that the power of God will move upon me and I will be everything I need to be as long as I don't walk defiled. Prince the eunuch says, whoa. Okay, I think it testified to the prince of the eunuchs. I think he's sitting there for a moment going, man, I want to see this. Right? And so he agrees to it. 10 days. And Scripture goes on to tell you that at the end of that 10 days, Daniel and the other three, you know who they were, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel and the other three looked fatter and healthier than any of those eating the king's meat. Listen, there's something about walking in the presence of God, right? And I'm not talking about dibble-dabbling. I'm not talking about, oh, I got my 5 minutes of worship in the car today. Oh, you know, I got my 5 minutes of prayer as I fell asleep tonight. No. Okay, and I'm not knocking those things, man. Do what you've got. But I'm talking about when you bring yourself into the presence of God, when you truly push everything else aside and you say, I need you, Jesus. I don't need anything else right now. I don't need the television. I don't need the wife. I don't need the world. I don't need a TV preacher. I don't need somebody else. I just need you, Jesus. And I need to hear from you, and I need you to move in my life and move in my situation and do a work in me. There is nothing that beats those moments. And friend, I am encouraging you to seek that out. I am encouraging you to seek that life. I am encouraging you to seek that place. And because it's vital to who we are. And I promise that when you're walking, when you are walking in His presence, you're going to look different. You're going to feel different. You're going to be different. Your energy is going to be different. Your desire and your passion and your zeal is going to be different. When you are fueled by the Father, honey, let me tell you this. There is no resolution you can't keep. Amen? Which brings me to a point I thought I was going to get rid of, but God just brought it back to me. Amen. You want to know why we don't keep most of our resolutions? It's because we're doing it for someone else. We're doing it for something else. We're not really doing it for ourselves, or we're not really doing it for God. But when we come into His presence and we choose the power of God unto salvation to move in our life and work in our life and make a difference in our life that only He can bring and do, then everything looks different and everything is different. Amen? Because why? Your desire has grown. Your want to enlarges itself. Amen? And I'm going to tell you what, until your want to enlarges itself, you're just going to piddle-paddle along. You're just going to piddle-paddle. Amen? See it all the time in church. Been doing this a long time and I have seen it a lot. See a lot of people who want it, but don't put the work in. Don't spend the time. Amen? Had someone come to me and say, you said this in your message and yada, 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 yada. And everything else. I said, yeah, you need to study this, 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 and this. Probably need to read this book, and this book, and everything else, and bring yourself to that full understanding. I said, I could talk to it for hours, but until you really get the meat of it, it's not going to click for you and everything. And they went, oh, so you thought you wanted it. You thought you wanted to understand it. But at the end of the day, you're just not willing to put the time in to let the power overcome you and work in your life. Amen? You see, God's got a whole lot for us. God's got a whole lot for us if we're willing to come into His presence, spend a little bit of time and work for it, and allow Him to move in our lives. Daniel refused the king's meat. Because, here's the big what if. Daniel was living in the what if moment. Amen? You know, kind of like Peter on the boat. You know, Lord bid me come. You know, had anybody ever walked on water before? Not to my knowledge. Not according to biblical account they hadn't. And everything else. Now all of a sudden Peter's living in the what if moment. He's saying, if Jesus is there, I can be there. If I trust and believe in Jesus. And as long as he trusted and believed in Jesus, what did he do? Oh, come on, this isn't hard. He walked on the water, right? As long as he trusted and believed in Jesus, he walked on the water. When he chose to look away from Jesus, when he chose to care more about what the world said, cared more about what the world thought, what did he do? He sunk, right? So now Daniel is in that what if moment, and I think Daniel was in this place where, what if I choose to be who God wanted? What if I choose to live according to His promises. And friend, when we talk about prayer and fasting and praying the promises over our life, and we'll get to that next week, Lord willing, and everything else. But when we start to talk about that, I'm going to tell you what, friend. When you start praying the Word of God over your life, over your situation, and over your circumstances, when you start talking to God in His language, amen, instead of, I want, I need, do it, please, and you repeat that kind of begging prayer all day long because you just need God to do something for you, instead of speaking to God in His language. Oh God, You said this in Your Word, and I need it to work in my life. I need it to be alive in my life. I need it to make a difference in my life. I am taking You at Your Word right now, and I am believing that You're going to bring an answer to my prayer. I believe that You're going to bring a miracle into my life according to whatever the passage is. You start praying to God in His language. You start talking to Him according to His promises, and you start walking and living and believing that His power is going to manifest itself in your situation, friend. I'm going to tell you what, seas will part and walls will fall, because God is who He said He is. Make no mistake, He is who He says He is. He does what He says He'll do, and He will do it in ways that everybody will look and see that it's something much bigger than you, much bigger than me, much bigger than anyone else. And they'll take a step back and be, oh, man, God's doing a work. God's doing something there. God made that happen. Amen? Why do you think we still talk about the Red Sea parting? Huh? Moses was in a desperate situation, man. Moses, here's the Red Sea, here's the Egyptian army, and he's got a whole lot of crybabies standing at his side. Right? I mean, Moses didn't have a whole lot to hang his hat on. So what did he do? He walked out, put down his staff, and he audaciously said to God, do something. Right? No, that's not what he said. He didn't walk out there not knowing that God was able. He didn't walk out there accepting defeat. He walked out there and he audaciously put his staff down and said, see the salvation of the Lord. I don't think he had a clue what was about to happen. I don't think he knew what God was going to do. But I think he knew, and I think he believed, and I think he had walked the life of faith long enough, and he had seen all the miracles, and he had seen everything else to the point that he knew God would do something. And so he walked out and he said, see the salvation of the Lord. I believe with full faith, with full trust, that God was going to do something. He said, see it. See it. Behold the salvation of the Lord. And in that moment, in that act of faith, God moved and he split that sea. And not only did he split it, he gave him dry ground to walk on. Why was that important? Amen. Because if that ground was wet and mushy, you ever walk through wet sand? Kind of hard to make good time, right? He even dried the ground up for him to walk on to get across. Amen. Why? Because Moses was audacious. Moses was bold. Moses had zeal and fervor that said, I don't have a clue what he's going to do, but I trust and I believe he's going to do it. And he stepped out in faith and he allowed God to do something great. Daniel was living in that what if moment. Daniel was living in that place where he said, I might be in a foreign land, I might be a slave, I might be held captive, but I am not going to forsake God. Because if I forsake God, he will forsake me. And if I don't forsake God, he won't forsake me, which means he will work on my behalf right here where I'm at. So I am not going to eat the king's meat. I'm not going to drink his wine. I'm going to choose to be better. I'm going to choose to live higher. I'm going to choose to allow his presence and his power to do a work in me and around me. So yeah, I'm not going to eat it. And I promise you, I'm going to look better in 10 days. And he did. He did. Scripture says he was fatter, more healthy, stronger than anybody who ate the king's meat. Let me tell you what, you eat of this world, you eat of the things of this world, you partake in even the things that won't send you to hell. You see, we're so caught up in that today. They were so caught up in that today. Well, if I do this, I don't think it's going to send me to hell. Maybe not. Maybe grace is that powerful and that sufficient. But at the end of the day, how devoted are you to the power and the will of God? How devoted are you to the power and the will of God to allow something higher and something holier to be part of your life? And simply push away the world stuff. Simply push away the king stuff. You see, Daniel was in that what if moment when he said, you know what? Maybe if I just push this away, God will just move on my behalf a little bit more. God will work in me just a little bit deeper. God will do more powerful things in my life and over my life if I just choose to take this deeper step in relationship with him. And he did. And God moved, made him healthier, made him stronger, and everything else like that. And then they continued to eat the meat. And even the king recognized this, and even the king began to question, what are you doing for them that you're not doing for them? Well, they're eating your stuff. Amen? Pretty soon, you eat the king's meat long enough. Pretty soon, you drink the Kool-Aid long enough. You're going to have the same pitiful testimony, the same life, the same stuff that the king has. You're going to end up walking in the same mindset, without vision, without hope, without promise that the king has. And all you're going to have left is what the king can give you, and not what the king of glory can give you. You see, Daniel chose to trust in God for this. His results, God blessed him physically. We've already covered that. God blessed him physically, right? Number two, he gave him favor on earth. Let me tell you something. There can be a lot of people smarter than you. There can be a whole lot of people with more money than you. There can be a whole lot of people with more contacts than you. There can be a whole lot of people that in this realm have quite the resume over you. But if God's favor is on you, if God's favor is on you because you're pushing away the world, because you're pushing away the king's meat and you're pushing away the king's wine and you're choosing to live your life, maybe not as exuberant. There's nothing great about eating broccoli and cauliflower and drinking water. There's nothing exciting about that. Amen? It's why most of you are going to fail on your diets. Okay? Because after a week or two of that, you're going to be like, I can't even see another piece of broccoli. Unless it's smothered in bacon like Annie cooks it. Right? All the women are like, hey, amen, hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Y'all getting spiritual on me now, man, because I brought bacon into the equation. Amen. But no, man, it's true. We get tired and we get bored and we get put off by the things that aren't as exciting and aren't as exuberant as what we see people doing in the world. But what we don't figure out and what we don't see is the end of that road, and we don't see that road ends, and we don't see what happens when we continue going down that road. Amen. Where if we just stay in the boring, amen, boring according to the world's terms, if we just eat the broccoli, if we just eat the qualifier, and we just drink the water a little bit longer, and God's favor begins to put his touch on our life, amen, he begins to place his hand on our heart, he begins to move on our behalf, amen, that is when the seas will start to split on our behalf. That is when we will walk on the waters of life, and God will do the impossible through us and in us. But amen, most times, he doesn't move until we choose to push away the things that crowd him out. Amen. And we got to push away the things that crowd God out. Daniel chose to do that, and because of it, he was blessed physically, and he was given favor on the earth. And last but not least, God gave him power. God gave him power. What I want to share with you here is in verse 17. Can you get that up, Bob? As for these four children, God gave them knowledge, not man. They went to school. They went to school there in Chaldea. They went to school there. They were forced to go to school there and everything else in the place and so forth. This isn't what we're talking about. We're not talking about the Chaldeans' knowledge and learning. Amen. We're talking about what God gave them. And amen, when God opens himself up to you, pay attention. Number one, he's doing it for a reason. He's doing it for a reason because of something he's going to do in your life and through your life. And number two, he's doing it so that you will never doubt and you will never waver when that time comes. Did you hear me? Amen? Pay attention when God opens himself up to you. Because number one, he's doing it for a reason. He has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. And that knowledge is vital to it. Number two, it is so that your faith won't waver when you're in that moment. When you're in that place that you have to go and stick your staff down and say, see the salvation of the Lord. God doesn't want someone who's going to tiptoe out to the rock. Right? God wants someone who's going to walk out there and own the moment and know that God's going to move. Know that God's going to move. Amen? That's what he's looking for, and that's why the knowledge is important. Daniel says, or in the book of Daniel, it says this, as for these four children, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Amen. God empowered him. Not just had favor on him, not just had favor as far as what the prince of the eunuchs decided to do and decided to give into him, but he went even further and he gave him power. He gave him the ability to interpret visions, interpret dreams, and to be able to articulate and communicate those things to the king. And because of that, the king then became to rely on Daniel and began to work in his own country, in his own ways, according to the leadership of God and Daniel that was then passed on to the king. And the king didn't even realize it. Friend, I've already told you, make your resolutions, lose your weight, amen, hallelujah. I got like 40 pounds to go, Jesus, help me, okay? But step out into the waters and let God begin to do a work in you and through you. Choose to see his power. Choose to see his glory. Realize within yourself that it is more than just showing up to church on Sundays. It is more than men's group and women's group. It's more than youth group. It is more than kids club. It is more than all of these things. Amen? And bring yourself into the presence of God, wanting him. Wanting him. Amen? Show up wanting God to move in you. Wanting God to move in the situations and the circumstances around you. Wanting God to take you deeper and take you further. No matter where you are. You see, Daniel could be a slave or he could be a servant. Daniel could have been a slave. He could have likened himself to Nebuchadnezzar. And he could have maybe been one of the greatest slaves and one of the greatest people that ever served Nebuchadnezzar in his life. But he chose to be a servant to God. He chose godly things. He chose the less exciting. He chose the less worldly way of finding the same favor, finding more power, and allowing God to do a greater work because he chose to do it God's way. So friend, as you look at 2019, I encourage you to do this. Don't stand on the scale. Don't look in the mirror. Don't make decisions about who you want to be and what you want to look like December 31st, 2019. But take a look into God's Word. Spend time with Him in prayer, fast, and allow His promises and allow His power to consume you and walk in them. Walk in those things. And then challenge God. Hey, God, I need to lose this 40 pounds, so give me the discipline and power to do it. But more importantly than that, let me be where you want me to be at the end of this year. Shut the doors that lead me away from you. Shut the doors that bring conflict and confusion into my life. Shut them and seal them. No matter how many times I try to go back through them, God, shut those doors. But open the doors that bring me into your presence. Open the doors wide that bring me into your glory. Open the doors that bring change into my life, whether I've asked for it or not. Open the doors that bring your presence into my being, whether I've asked for it or not. Shut the doors that lead me down the wrong path. Open the doors that bring me into your power and bring me into your glory. Because I want to be where you are, God. I want to do what you have for me to do, God. And I'm tired of being the sluggard. I'm tired of being the wayward son. I'm tired of being the one that halfway gets there and then it all crumbles and falls apart because I don't have the fortitude to carry it further. I choose to be the one that works harder. I choose to be the one that goes further. I choose to be the one that spends time in your word. I choose to be the one that fasts. I choose to be the one that prays and do it while I'm eating the cauliflower and broccoli. Because I wouldn't have the king's meat. I refuse to be defiled so that I might be yours, God. You see, that was the choice Daniel was making. He wasn't making a resolution. He wasn't making a decree. He didn't, you know, we're the ones that embellishing it now because we have the scripture to share it and use it to make a point. Daniel wasn't doing any of that. When this actually lived out in Daniel's life, Daniel just chose God. Daniel just chose God. He put God first, he said, God, I'm yours, and I refuse to be anybody else's. So do it. Do it, God. Make me healthier. Well, they eat the good stuff. Man, it smells good. Man, it looks good. But I'll just keep eating the cauliflower. I'll just keep eating the broccoli. Maybe throw in a little asparagus. Amen. Because I want to be yours. And yours alone. So you do everything else. Do it audaciously. Do it boldly. Do it with fervor. Do it so that other people literally have to take a step back as I walk through. Because of your power and your glory in me. You see, it's okay to make resolutions. But what I'm encouraging you to do this morning is don't make resolutions anymore based on how you want the world to see you. Don't make resolutions anymore based on your peers who most are disillusioned themselves. Make resolutions based on the things God wants to do in your life. Make decisions based on who you are in Jesus Christ. No other influence. No other impact. And I guarantee you, favor will fall on you. Power, physical strength, and health will fall on you. Amen. Now let me tell you what, Satan's gonna try to deter you, right? You're gonna come to a rough spot, and Satan's gonna stand there with his hands on his hips, going, ha 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 ha. Well, I encourage you to be just as defiant as Moses was, and say, "Get out of my way," and see the salvation of the Lord. I encourage you to be just as bold as Peter was. Lord, bid me come. Amen. I encourage you to have the same audaciousness that Joshua had when he wrestled with the angel. And he said, "I am not letting you go until you bless me." Live the scripture. Walk in the scripture. Pray the promises. Challenge God to be what his word says he is. And I guarantee you, he's going to show up in big, big ways. This morning, if you're here and you're struggling, this morning, if you're here and you're at a what-if moment and you're struggling with it, you're in a place where you're at that crossroads of, God, move, or man, I'm just going to fall apart. I'm just going to fall to pieces. I encourage you right now, push away the king's meat, push away the wine, push away the stuff of this world, and ask God and God alone to move in your life. Ask him to do a work in you that only he can do. Come to him with a broken heart, a contrite spirit, and let him wipe away your tears. Let his power and let his glory manifest itself in you. And I promise you, he'll bless you physically. He'll favor you over the worldly. And he'll empower you with the things needed to accomplish his purpose and his will. Let's stand and sing.